A huge Double Game Week 34 comes to an end. It was Benny Blanco time for two of us. Sorry, Sam. Now it's time to decide what to do with Chelsea and Spurs. I finally activated my wild card, and are we all selling Salah? So Double Game Week 34 is finally almost complete. Still the Thursday action to come. FPL Pod coming to you. As always, we're recording on a Thursday morning, bright and early. Julian Laron and Sam Bonfield alongside me. What a double game week it's been. And Sam, let's get this out of the way. It's still been a double game week to remember for you, but maybe also to forget.
What happened?
Right, let's start this off with, it hasn't actually been that bad. Like, I've still got a green arrow. It's just that you two have Ben White and I didn't. More on him, I'm sure, in a bit when we get to Jules. But I think for me, it's just been one of those difficult weeks because obviously I decided, as we talked about last week, to play the differentials in Haaland and Cole Palmer, and then neither of them decided that they wanted to play in game week 34. So that was difficult given that it was a week when my bench was already weakened because Gusto missed out, Livramento didn't get any, he didn't get any game time at all. And Son, obviously, I knew wasn't going to. So I just didn't have a bench at all this week. And when you don't have Haaland and Palmer turn up, that means I'm down to nine. So to have a green arrow still when I've got nine players is mostly thanks to the legend that is Mateta, to be honest. Oh, and Jordan Pickford in goal with his two clean sheets, which I just didn't see coming. I am incredibly annoyed with myself because I had the armband on Mateta until 1:28 on Saturday afternoon, and then I bottled it and moved it back to Salah. And had I just left it alone, it would have been a really, really nice week, even with the nine players. So we'll just see what happens tonight. Without Haaland, I don't have anyone in this game, so it will obviously have an impact on my rank, but hopefully not too great an impact because those that are free-hitted, generally speaking, have gone without Man City anyway. So I'll take the little green arrow and then mute myself and probably the whole of this podcast while George rants about how great his week was.
No. Bonjour, Jules. You've had a good week. You've been in France, in Paris, your favourite place in the world.
That's right.
With producer Jesse. And you guys, our WhatsApp kind of was quite interesting because obviously Jesse's in the WhatsApp as well. We're all watching the Arsenal game. I was a little bit behind, so I only knew that Ben White was scoring because Sam was getting angry. And then Jules was celebrating. We had the full range of emotions. But another good week for you, Jules.
Not bad, yeah, 91 points. I still have Foden to play and Haaland, obviously, who's not going to play. But if Foden does well, that could be very interesting for me. I will be honest, I forgot to change the captain armband. So it's on Erling Haaland right now with Salah as a vice captain.
What about that talent and planning, Jules? Did it fail you?
I'll tell you the truth is I did it on Saturday morning. Everything was organized and planned. One of my kids, I've got too many kids. One was playing basketball and I got carried. People were talking to, it was just like, and then I completely forgot the captain. So I did the transfers that I wanted, the team that I wanted, but the captain, yeah, not this week. So it will go on to Salah, which is not great. Obviously, I would have loved to do Mateta or Sam. I would have loved to do Ben White. Benny White, White, White. Benny White, White, White. Benny White, White,
oh my
White.
God.
Benny White, White, White.
How do
Benny
I mute him?
Blanco. Benny Blanco. Hermano, vamos, 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 vamos.
I need to apologise to the nation, to the world, to everyone listening.
What a legend.
I enjoyed Ben White's points, but I'm not even sure it was worth that, to be honest.
What a legend. Sam, you should listen to us. You know, we give advice here for the whole for the whole world, for the whole country, you know. And you clearly didn't want to listen to us when we said that Ben White was a must-have this week.
Look, I had Gabriel and Saliba. Like, it's not like I didn't have any Arsenal defenders. Like, they did fine.
Did you have a defender with 26 points?
Well, no but I did have Pickford in goal. So,
and you
have
Mateta. So,
and I have Mateta.
You finished, I think you've actually...
I've got more points than you, Jules, at the moment. So,
for now, yeah. But you still don't have...
Okay. This podcast, once again, has descended into an argument between you two. So I'll try and move it on. I'm just in the middle, not getting too involved. Just like I'm sitting between you and the league table. I'm happily mid-table. It's more interesting at the moment. Of course, we have had an off the bench this week. There, Oscar and Az discussed the opening seven matches of Game Week 34. So if you do want to go back and listen to Monday's Off the Bench to get a little bit more info on some of those players, by all means do it. It's in your podcast feed, but we're going to just kind of rattle through some of the talking points from the other games. I'm not sure we really need to talk about Arsenal-Chelsea much more, do we, Jules? The only thing I'd say is I was very torn between bringing in Ben White and Kai Havertz. And watching those performances, I can kind of see why. Surely now, Havertz is becoming a very, very attractive option for Arsenal. Even more at the moment attractive than Saka, I would say, would you?
Yeah, absolutely. So is Odegaard too. I mean, Bukayo Saka, who's heavily owned, obviously, in the game for the right reasons, but hasn't maybe been performing the way we wanted him to or we expected him to. There's an assist in the Chelsea game, but I think you and I and Sam would have played in that game. We would have got something out of Chelsea because they were, especially in the second half, really, really bad. So it was fun for White. It was fun for Havertz. It was fun for Odegaard. I mean, the assist for the Kai Havertz goal from Martin Odegaard is just a pure beauty. We talked about Havertz before. That felt like a big differential at the time, but also we were saying that he was getting more and more return, more and more confident. Everything that he brings to this Arsenal team is pretty special. It's still, I think it would take a lot of bravery to swap Saka for Havertz, but looking at the forms of the two players right now, it would not be a bad idea at all.
My wild card is active and I'm thinking about it. Whether I'm brave enough is another matter, but yeah, I'm thinking about it. It wasn't the ideal start or the week ahead of a double game week for Chelsea, but we'll talk about them very shortly. Wolves versus Bournemouth. I mean, Sam, anything to write home from that from your point of view?
No, I think Ait Nouri was a bit of a disappointment. The Bournemouth goal led a charmed life last night, didn't it? Two goals ruled out for Wolves. I don't know. I think the thing with Wolves now is that most people who invested have, you know, Ait Nouri, maybe have Cunha if you stuck with him, even though he was ruled out of the first game. I think you have to now look at your Wolves assets and think about whether it's worth holding them because obviously they don't have any more doubles to come. And potentially there are some other cheaper assets in those positions that you could go to instead. Like I wonder whether our days of loving on Ait Nouri for his attacking threat might just be coming to an end on the basis that, you know, the fixtures, there isn't that extra double game week that you can kind of use. But I think for me, I was really worried about Dom Solanke this week. I didn't have him. And I was really, really worried about the impact that he might have on my rank in these two fixtures. And I kind of feel like I got away with it a little bit because just the one return for him across the double. So yeah, these two, I think moving forward, are probably teams that you can afford to start moving away from now.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know how Dominic Solanke didn't get more points. I don't know how Bournemouth didn't score more against Wolves, to be honest. A really good performance from Iraola's side. Palace versus Newcastle. Well, we went big on Palace last week on the pod, Jules, and it was justified, wasn't it?
Incredible, really. I mean, the first game was good to start with. Even if they conceded those two goals against West Ham, they could easily have won without conceding at all and score more goals. And I think to carry that momentum, but we said to have two home games was great for them in the form that they were after the win away at Liverpool. But to carry that form and the momentum into the Newcastle game, super disappointing from a Newcastle point of view, of course. But really, the praise should go to Crystal Palace and the way they play. I mean, Jean-Philippe Mateta, Paris born and bred, of course, on fire, literally 7 goals in his last 7 Premier League matches. The first one, the little 1-2 with Ayew, I've watched Mateta played since he was maybe 17. I've never seen him doing something so nice, so sweet, so perfect. It was just amazing. And that shows you when you're in confidence, when your team is playing well, even with Olise on the bench, still some great things can happen. So well done to them. He's still only owned by less than 5% of the players, Mateta, which is mad when you think about it, it's bonkers. But I'm glad all of us brought him in and still a lot of players around us brought him in because he was always going to be, I think, the one of the main guy of this double game week.
I'm so annoyed. I was so close. I had it done at one point and I bottled doing Haaland to Mateta and instead did a minus.
Oh, you don't have him?
Dean Henderson. No, I don't have him.
If I had known that.
Well, if you'd have done your prep properly and looked at my team, you could have.
He's only interested in what I've done, Kelly. Like, he just likes to wind me up. Like, he doesn't pay attention.
Sam, also, you're very vocal on the group.
You two should listen to me a bit more, to be fair. I don't think I get the respect I deserve.
I'm a bit more clever. When I don't have someone, I don't shout about it because I don't want to get all the abuse. So I just keep quiet about it and hope Jules doesn't notice it. It normally works. Whereas Sam, you let all your emotions out so then Jules can come for you. What am I going to say? I've learned from working with Jules. Don't admit feeling sad. Anyway, moving on. Sam, what are we doing with Palace long term? I say long term, there's 4 weeks left. You know what I mean?
No, I because again, they're another team that don't double, a bit like I was just saying about Wolves and Bournemouth. I think there's a slight difference with Mateta, because Mateta in that third forward slot with the form that he's in right now feels really nice. Like, and if you are thinking about your budget and you're looking to kind of change up the way that you're invested across the rest of your team, then I think holding, like, I'm going to hold Mateta for the next few weeks. Fixtures are fine. I'm happy to have him in my team. Like, I think if you've got Eze or Elise in the middle, then maybe they were kind of a one week option. Yeah, because I think the midfield slots for the next few weeks feel quite, well, they felt important all season, haven't they, in reality? But there's so many good options in the midfield for the teams that double in game week 37. And of course, that have the double next week as well, in terms of Spurs and Chelsea, that maybe holding on to somebody like Elise or Eze is quite difficult. But holding Mateta in that third forward slot, for me, that makes perfect sense. I'm going to be doing that.
Everton versus Liverpool. Well, aside, Jules, from what this does for the title race and for the end of Liverpool's season and the relegation battle from Everton's point of view, I mean, we've just heard from Sam there, Jordan Pickford getting that double clean sheet. He was amazing. Mammoth last night, wasn't he? Jarrod Branthwaite, I know that Ian had him as well. Some really big performances from Everton at this stage of the season.
Incredible derby, really. They hadn't won at home against Liverpool in the league since 2010. It felt such an incredible moment because, to start with, they're now sure to stay in the league and be there next season, which maybe didn't look that likely a few weeks ago. It's also preventing Liverpool now, I think, unless something miraculous happened, to win the title. So it's a double whammy if you're an Everton fan. It's great, great night if you're Liverpool. But we've been saying it for a few weeks now that their short conversion, for example, was really not good, that they kept missing chances. And they did it again on Wednesday night. Salah, Darwin, Luis Diaz. I don't know how many shots you can get without scoring, how many chances you can get and you still don't score. Sometimes it's harder, I think, to shoot at the keeper and on the keeper than to actually score a goal. And yet, game after game for the last few weeks, that's what they've done. It's really strange because we've been saying it, they are amazing players. It's just not happening for them. And I just wonder as well if now that the title feels gone, it's not mathematically gone, but it feels like it's gone, if we're going to see Liverpool and some of those players and maybe Klopp changing things like he did, to be fair, against Fulham. And we might not see much of Darwin anymore, or maybe not see much of Salah anymore, or certainly not consistently for the whole 90 minutes.
George, is Darwin time over?
I think it's Darwin time over. Since I've been talking about selling him, he's lost all his confidence. He's not happy with me. And like, he still gives you a lot and he's there and he has the chances or he creates them for other people, but the outcome is not good enough. So Darwin has to go now.
Sam, I saw Praz, who has been on this podcast in the past and also was on the fantasy show with me last week. He tweeted on Wednesday night, this feels like a very sad way to end owning Salah. He's on a wild card like myself. But you do wonder now, with the form and the price of the Egyptian, if maybe people are going to be looking elsewhere for the final few weeks.
I think I'm going to sell Salah this week.
Me too.
31 touches in the final third across this game week. That's like very little. And he was averaging a touch every 2.3 minutes, which is it's very poor for Salah over the course of that. And that's the worst in the Liverpool team, by the way. Everyone else was touching the ball more frequently than he was. I just think at the budget that he is, you had to have him for this week. And I think, you know, I said a lot last week that I wasn't sure about the captaincy on him because I felt like I had to, because he was going to be the most captained in terms of saving and protecting the rank. I didn't want to have a massive red arrow on the back of him. But it never really felt like he was in the form where he was going to absolutely go on a riot. Then he obviously got benched in the first game, which was a frustration. And then the second game, he just really wasn't in it. I think, you know, within the first half, he'd had like 9 touches or something. It was ridiculous. He was so off it. And I think, you know, those midfield slots, people will be looking to get, if you haven't got Foden already, people will be looking at Foden because of the double game that Man City have coming up. People will be looking at Son, or if you don't want Son, Brennan Johnson or Maddison, or somebody from Spurs because of the doubles they have coming up. If you've sold Cole Palmer, you'll be looking for a route to get him back. And it's not about the budget really at this point in the season. It's about the space, and do you have space to carry somebody like Salah when Liverpool season does appear to be kind of tapering out into nothingness right now, because they've effectively ruled themselves out of the title race at this point now. And so for me, Salah is I'm probably going to sell both of my Liverpool assets this week. I'm probably going to sell him and Darwin because I just think that there are better players to have in those positions for the final 4 weeks of the season and they don't double again.
Jules, are you getting rid of all your Liverpool players? I think on my wild card, I'm not going to have any.
Yeah, I'm not surprised, Kerz. I think a lot of people will be like you as well for the ones who are wild carding this week. Darwin for Isak is going to happen. And then for Salah, to Son or somebody like that from Spurs, I think it's very likely as well. Even if that means taking a -4, I think it's worth it. I just think there's something that is just not there for this Liverpool side. And yeah, of course, they're not going to lose all their games, the last four games. But I just, yeah, something is not right.
Yeah, it does feel that way, doesn't it? Yeah, it's certainly an interesting last few weeks of the season. I'm a little bit scared, though, because they have got the potential to really hurt you if you do sell Liverpool players. Okay, well, Manchester United versus Sheffield United. Wow, what a game this was. And it kind of feels like it encapsulated a lot of Manchester United's season. Some moments of bad errors and then Bruno Fernandes saving them. I've got Garnacho. I did get some assist points out of him. But Bruno Fernandes, Sam, I'm seriously looking at him on my wild card.
Oh, yeah. But the thing with Manchester United is that they're so kind of inconsistent at the moment, aren't they? And, you know, I can see why with the fixtures that they have coming up, the double I don't like. I don't like their double in 37 at all. But the fixtures around that are nice. And I do think with Bruno, obviously you have penalties and we know what he can do and has been doing over the last few weeks. Like he's been consistently performing. But it took Bruno and Harry Maguire to get them over the line in this one. So two of their kind of old guard, I guess. I think if you're wildcarding, Bruno does make sense because it allows you to have a bit of a fun punt on a Manchester United player who's lowly owned. It's a nice differential. And I think that, you know, it will offer you some scope for good rank rise over the last few weeks. I just think if you're not wildcarding, then you're probably going to prioritise people like Son or like bringing Palmer back, who've got the extra double over him. But if you can find a way to get him in, and, you know, maybe that means sacrificing Salah or Saka to do it. But I don't think that that's a horrendous decision at this point in the season.
Yeah, so 18 points for Bruno Fernandes, 12 points for Harry Maguire. I'm more likely to bring him in, to be honest, because he's 4.2 million and he's just basically an enabler that has a double, Jules.
I'm thinking the same case because I've got Lascelles on the bench who obviously is not going to play again, who's at 3.9. So Maguire is not even far from that. You know he's going to start every game. Sam is right, the double is hard with Arsenal and Newcastle, both at home though, both at Old Trafford. So with them, you just don't know. I think it could be fun, to be fair, for you and I to own Maguire until the end of the season and see, because I think they are capable of having good moments in games. They also can be shambolic and we've seen that most of the season really. But yeah, it could be quite fun to have him until the end and see. On set pieces, he's good obviously, he scores. He scored in the FA Cup as well. So that could be fun. And at that price, you won't find many defenders who are guaranteed to play, who have a threat on set pieces, and who are in a good team with a double. I mean, I know the double is hard, but it's still Manchester United.
Let's also have a word for Sheffield United. Like I said, what a game, what a performance from them, leading in this one twice. Ben Brereton-Diaz, he was mentioned as a differential on a number of podcasts. A lot of FPL content creators were talking about, and we even spoke about him on the Fantasy Show last Friday. 7 points for him. Bravo to Ian, who brought him in.
Yeah.
He kind of proved that he's probably the only real Sheffield United asset that we have looked at for a while, Sam.
Yeah, and I think continues to be honest. I don't think there's anyone else really at Sheffield United. I think if you want to go for a punt, then you go with him, which is basically what we said, wasn't it? If you want to punt on a Sheffield United player, then you go with him. I did think of Ian, though, when he scored that goal against Manchester United, because I thought, what a wave of mixed emotions that must have been for him. But yeah, I still think that moving forward, he's the only one. And even then, no more doubles to come for Sheffield United. So there's no real massive upside for him. So I think there are better options, but if you do, you know, want to go for him, then fine.
Yeah, that price point, to be honest, you'd probably be better going for a Garnacho, wouldn't you, really?
Absolutely, yeah. And if you can find a little bit more, then Anthony Gordon and Palmer.
Yeah, okay. Well, actually, on the topic of Ian, let's talk about our mini league. Confirmation then of the transfers that he made. He did Son, Gusto and Kelleher to Brereton, Diaz, Henderson and Trent. He actually had a brilliant week. We can talk about our weeks, but he had the best of all of us. He's briefly, I don't know if it's going to be briefly, gone above Sam.
What?
Just kind of saying that.
Sorry, I didn't hear this.
He got 109 points. He did take a minus four, though, so he ended on 105. He is now just 3 points ahead of Sam. So that battle is really interesting. It's actually getting quite interesting with myself just above them as well, because I am only, let's do some live math for you, 28 points ahead of Ian and 31 points ahead of Sam. Sam, you have two free transfers, even when Muniz and Lascelles for Mateta and Livramento. 50% of those were brilliant transfers. I did take a minus four. I did Turner, Gordon, Taylor for Henderson, Ezza and White. Just really annoyed that I did the Henderson transfer, to be honest. And Jules, you did your two frees, Kelleher and Muniz for Henderson and Mateta, both of which paid off eventually. By the way, Jules is miles out ahead, in case anyone cares. He's 82 points ahead of me. Where are you? What's your rank, Jules, at the moment?
I've got red arrow, to be fair, this week, because everybody around me preheated and everything. So
you're on 8791. I've just checked for you.
I was going to say 9,000, but yeah.
Just underneath 9,000. Not bad, not bad indeed. Not bad. In terms of the FPL pod mini league, this is interesting actually, the top six managers use their free hit chip. I am very jealous, and all have scored over 100. Sam, very quickly, what a week it was to free hit. You know, we have so many disappointing free hit weeks. I saw scores in like the region of 120, even 140.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a huge week. I mean, that swing of free hitting in game week 29 or free hitting in game week 34, which felt tight at the time and making that decision, has been absolutely huge, because you know, if you free hit in 29, you got like somewhere between 10 and 20 points. If you free hit this week, you're guaranteed to be over 100. Little shout out to FPL Harry though, because he's got 123, I think, without a free hit chip this week, which is quite frankly amazing. Yeah,
that's incredible planning, isn't it?
Yeah, he's actually got some talent and planning going on there.
Yeah, so have I, because I'm above him in the overall rankings. The highest number of points this week is 216 with a Mateta triple captain. And I think what I've the best about this story is that the guy who's got this team with 216 points with Mateta as a triple captain, his team is called Hakuna Mateta. And he's had that name since the start of the season, not just for this week. That's his team's name, Hakuna Mateta. So Mateta, well done to you, bro. 216, incredible week with no free hit again.
Also, my other half, Max, triple captain Salah. I told him not to. That week. Grand total of 9 points. Anyway,
imagine if you bench boosted, just to finish on that, if you bench boosted, right? And on your bench after this game week, you have the incredible amount of 0 points. What an amazing chip plate. Well done, producer Jesse.
Producer Jesse, I do feel for you, because this time last week I was saying I wasn't sure if I was going to activate my bench boost. I didn't do it because I decided that I didn't know when Gary Neal's presser came. I didn't know if Ait Nouri was going to play. I didn't love the fixture for Palmer Augusto. They didn't love it either. They didn't bother turning up for it. So I got Ait Nouri's 2 points off the bench to take Haaland's place. Producer Jesse has just WhatsApped me. I'm using my phone to check my team. And Producer Jesse has just WhatsApped me and said, by the way, I did get 120 points in the end, to be fair. Jesse, imagine what it could have been.
What could have been if you'd had a bench boost?
You still wasted your bench boost, producer Jesse.
Come on.
Unlike me, who's still got a wild card and a bench boost with 4 weeks of the season. Old habits die hard, guys.
This is such a you thing to do.
It is indeed. It is indeed. Back to the FPL Pod Mini League, though. A shout out to the new second place manager, Xiaomar, who scored 157 points this week. Producer Jesse, eat your heart out. Stefan is still top of the league, though. He is 9 points ahead. Okay, so it is a double. Again, not quite as big a double as game week 34, but in 35, we'll see both Chelsea and Spurs play twice. There will only be one more double game week after this one. So let's just kind of think ahead to what we should do, not only for this week, but for the remaining few weeks. Very quickly, I'm wildcarding, mainly because there's no other time left to do it. And if I don't do it soon, what the hell is the point in even having the chip? Sam, everyone should be wildcarding if they haven't, shouldn't they? Ooh, a pause.
Yes, I think there will be some people that look at their teams coming out of game week 34 and think, actually, it looks really nice for game week 35. Or there will be people that think, I would like to use my triple captain in 35 because I want to use my bench boost in 37. And if that's the case, then I can see the benefit of holding your wild card until game week 36, because obviously you can't use two chips in 1 week. But if you've only got your bench boost left and your wild card, then I think playing it this week makes a lot of sense. There is such a massive swing at this point between the teams that doubled in game week 34 that you are heavily invested in, and then the teams that double again in game week 37, that I think you would ideally you just want to offload those guys, get on the form guys and the ones that have the double coming up in the future, as well as then obviously being able to invest heavily in Chelsea and Spurs, depending upon how heavily you want to invest in Chelsea and Spurs for their double in 35. So yes, I think it is the week, unless you've still got two other chips left, and then maybe it's next week instead to allow you to play one of those chips this week.
That makes me feel better that some people would have that many chips left more than me.
There's quite a lot of people that have still got both the free hit and the bench boost, or the free hit and the triple cap left. There's quite a lot that still have a lot of chips left to be played. And if you are in that camp, then obviously you can't use more than one in one game week. So just think about where you might deploy them.
I'll just quickly tell you where I'm currently at with my wild card, just because there might be people listening who are also doing that. I haven't decided on my keepers at the moment, but at the moment I've been lured in by that double clean sheet from Pickford. So I've got Pickford
joining my club.
Vicario, but I don't know if either of those will stay, because as it stands, I've kind of got a double Spurs defence, which I don't really want. I've got Porro as well. So I can't decide on my keepers. So Vicario's just in there at the moment as a kind of placeholder.
Fine.
While I decide. I've got Gabriel because I don't want to get rid of both Arsenal defence. I think it could really hurt me. If I've got enough budget, I will actually keep Ben White over him. I've got Harry Maguire, I've got Gusto, and I've currently got Burn, but I'd quite like him to become share. I've got Saka toying with going to Havertz. So Son, Foden, Palmer and Gordon. I think four of my five midfield slots are done there, although I would like Garnacho.
Yeah.
Sam doesn't trust my maths, by the way, because
In my head, I was just like, are they the best five midfielders? I was just thinking about the five that you listed.
It's tough because I would like six. Garnacho is the one I want. I mentioned I wanted Bruno. I would love nothing more than to do KDB and Foden. But if you've got Haaland as well, it's just impossible to find the budget. And then my forwards as it stands are Haaland, Isak. Not ideal for Callum Wilson to come back to fitness at the moment, though, because I worry Isak will still start more, but I worry about his minutes being slightly limited. And as it stands, I've still got Mateta. I would love to put Jackson in.
Why?
Yeah, why?
Because he should score so many goals, but he just doesn't.
He's worse than Darwin for missing chances.
Yeah,
no, exactly. So I can't. I put Jackson in and I just thought I can't do it to myself. If I'm getting rid of Darwin, I don't want to almost upgrade my player that misses loads. To
one who misses more.
Yeah, so and because he's got a double, I would love nothing more than to have seen him convert all of those chances at the weekend and against Arsenal as well, because he would be a no-brainer this week.
It's lucky to even be on the pitch, to be honest, on Tuesday night.
Yeah, so I won't be having him. So that's where I'm at the moment. There's still a few. The midfield is almost set, a couple of issues defensively, third forward and goalkeepers. But Sam, go on, give me some feedback. This is me using the pod for me. Who do you think are the best keepers? I don't know if I should be asking you this, but...
Look, I just got a double-digit return out of Pickford, thank you. And my goalkeepers actually the last couple of weeks have been quite good.
Choice.
Yeah, I think...
I've got a bench boost, by the way, just to remind you.
So the reason I went for Pickford originally was because he had the double in 34 and then actually the fixture in 37 is nice. Or it's a single game week fixture, but it's a nice fixture where there should be some options. And then I've obviously still got Petrovic as my other one, which I don't love that because I don't love the Chelsea defence. I actually don't think Vicario is a bad option at all. I think the chances of there being clean sheets for Spurs are quite limited. However, with the teams that Spurs have coming up, so obviously the North London derby and then a game against Chelsea and then a game against Liverpool, these are teams that will take shots. And so there should be plenty of save point potential across those for Vicario. So you've got potential upside for him. So I don't think he's a terrible shout. I think Onana is an interesting option as well. Although, as we've mentioned before, when we were talking about Manchester United, I don't love the double and that puts me off. I don't know. I mean, I'm sort of the opinion that with the goalkeepers, Vicario feels of the doubling ones like probably the weirdly the best option, unless you've got the budget for Edison.
See, that's what I did have. So I had Dalot and I've downgraded him to Maguire. I could do something with Porro and I would like to have three City. It feels like when they've got a double, you should have three City slots really. So that's kind of another consideration, but I hate spending so much on goalkeepers.
Yeah, I mean, goalkeepers have been a bit of a disaster all round this season, haven't they? But I think the Manchester City defence hasn't been great either. They've not been keeping clean sheets. And it's also quite tough to know how and who's going to start every week. But you do know that with Edison, that you do get the regular starts. Apart from at this time last season, Kels, if you remember, when we both had him and he wasn't starting and it was very annoying. But I think with the double coming up, I do think that tripling up on Man City does make sense, particularly given the title hunt that they're in. So I quite like Edison and Pickford as a combination, weirdly.
Yeah, I think maybe if I can get to that, I will. I need to stop just staring at my screen now, though, because this is just making me think about my wild cards. As it sounds, I've got double Chelsea, treble Newcastle, double Man City, but that will become treble, treble Spurs, that probably won't stay treble, just one Manchester United. And I have got three single game weekers in there. It's tough. It's what we say all the time, though. I'm going to be bench boosting, and single game weekers can outscore the doublers. With that in mind, I'm going to have to sell quite a lot of key players. So let's play a quick game of buy, sell and hold, something we regularly play on this podcast. Let's start with someone that I wouldn't be surprised if 100% of this podcast are selling. We've already spoken about him a bit, Sam. How likely are you to sell Mohamed Salah?
Very. It's either him or Saka. One of them goes this week. One of them probably goes next week. Since he returned in game week 28, Salah has two attacking returns. There's 36 midfielders that have returned more than him in that period of time. He has had 33 attempts on goal in that period, which is more than any other midfielder, but attempts don't bring us FPL points. And so for me, I'm looking at the price, I'm looking at the fact that I don't have a City midfielder and thinking, oh, I really would like one of them. And I would like the money to be able to make some upgrades elsewhere. So Salah, he feels like a sell to me. And it doesn't mean he won't ever return again, because he will, and it will hurt a bit when he does. But I just think that the other players have got much more potential to return big hauls.
Jules?
Yeah, I agree. And if you want to invest in a Spurs asset, for example, like Son, because of how expensive Mo Salah is, this is the only move you have. If you want to go to KDB, this is the only way you can do it, really, or the easiest way, certainly. And when you see the poor form that Liverpool and Salah are on right now, it's a no-brainer, really. It's risky. Sam is right, because he will score again between now and the end of the season, for sure. But it's probably the move to make. Maybe more than Saka, who Arsenal have that momentum. They're still fighting for the title. They score a lot of goals. And he only had an assist against Chelsea, but on another day, he would have had two and a goal, etc. And I think we've said that often enough this season on the show. It's shared nicely at Arsenal between Havertz and Odegaard and Saka and Gabriel Jesus, whoever else you want. So I would keep Saka, but definitely sell Salah.
Darwin Nunez. Jules, Darwin time's over, you said?
It's the end of Darwin time. Darwin, thank you very much for everything. It was a great ride.
Sam, same for you.
Yeah, he's 15th for form in the forward category at the moment. So you can only have three. Why would you have the guy that's 15th?
Yeah.
So, agree. Yeah, he's going.
Onana, Sam.
So actually, outside of the double, the fixtures are quite nice. There might be some potential, but one clean sheet between game week 24 and 35, it doesn't exactly fill you with confidence that there's going to be loads of clean sheets. Now, look, there hasn't been loads of clean sheets this season. There's the most goals ever in a Premier League season now. So it's not like we are seeing loads of clean sheets for everybody else. But I just think that for me, if I was wildcarding, I might be tempted to go with Onana. But in that second goalkeeper slot, probably, because he's not that expensive either. But I don't really love it.
Jules?
I mean, he gives assist, but to the opposition. So I'm not really sure where I stand on Onana and the United defence.
Yeah, that's my... I want to bring them in because they've got a double, but then I really, really don't. Yeah. Ollie Watkins. This one's interesting. Punished his sellers this week. It feels like he does that every time we get rid of him, Jules.
Yeah, that's right. I thought about that. And we mentioned the other day how the goals are great, and we mentioned that, but his assist tally this season in the Premier League is outstanding, really, for a number nine that is a finisher. Nobody else has at least double digit in goals and assists this season in the Premier League, but he does. Great. It's just that we said with the form that Mateta is in, Haaland, unless the Haaland injury is worse than what we know so far, and then that place becomes available and you can go for Watkins, it's quite difficult then if you want Isak because he's got a double game week, which is not the case for Watkins and Villa. So it's interesting. I think he should still be very much in the discussion, but you can understand why maybe not in a lot of people's team.
Yeah. Is there better options, Sam?
I don't know, actually. I massively regret selling Ollie Watkins, particularly as I bought in Darwin Nunez in his place. Like, I think if you sold Watkins and you went to Isak, then fair enough. 19 goals, 12 assists, 100 shots, 45 shots on target. He's in the top three in the game for all of those stats. I just think that sometimes there are players that have fantastic seasons, and actually the fixtures, yes, there's no double, but they've got a game against Chelsea in there. Like, you could see them doing really well in that one. If I was wildcarding, I'd have Watkins.
Would you?
Yeah.
Oh, Kelly's face when you said that. It's one more problem for her now.
Yeah.
No, I'm
sure.
Moving on. Son, surely with a double, you hold him, don't you? You hold Son and you probably buy him.
Yeah. You buy him, you hold him, you don't sell him. Yeah, two doubles, 19 goal attempts. That's the most at Spurs between game week 27 and 33. Obviously, they didn't play in 34. So the stat goes to 33. Yeah, I think he's the best option in the Spurs attack. You go Son. And if you don't have Son, you sell Salah to buy Son.
Jules, you learned the hard way of trying to cover Son's points with Madison, didn't you?
Yeah. And I'm not really feeling their fixtures, and not just for the double, the Arsenal-Chelsea one. But even after that, there's Liverpool, there's Burnley, but then there's City, and they finish with Sheffield United. So it's tough. And usually Son has 1 week where he returns, one when he blanks, one when he returns, one when he blanks. So just bear that in mind when you bring him at his price. But you need a Spurs player there for sure. Attacking-wise, defensively, I would not touch them, but attacking-wise, you do. And he's really the most talented that they have, more than Brendan Johnson. So if you have the money, I think Son makes a lot of sense. Even if, like me, you're a bit scared about the fixtures and what could come with this very unpredictable team, really. Because with Spurs, you never know. They will attack a lot, but you still don't know who will score, how they will score, how many they will score. So all of that would be fun if you own Son, Madison, Johnson, Werner, whoever you want.
So were you going to buy him?
In the end, I think I might, yeah. Despite all of it.
So you're probably going to buy him and then sell him because you said he blanks straight after he returns.
Can't sell him before the next double though, Kel.
No, it's very... Well, I'm not going to. This just sounds like it from Jules' logic there.
Yeah, that's why I think it's a tricky one, really, for Spurs. You look at it and they've got two doubles and you think, okay, this is obvious. I don't think with Spurs it's that obvious at all, because we said they are very unpredictable. This is their season, really. Hmm. The only thing we know is that they attack a lot. So yeah, they are potential to score loads, but I'm not sure you can tell me now who's going to score the next goal, for example.
Sam desperately wants to come back at you, but we've got to move on. Palace attackers, we already discussed the fact that maybe they're one of the teams that doesn't have any doubles, but coming out of 34 has left us with a bit of a headache. Sam, what would you do, buy, sell or hold with the likes of Mateta, Eze and Elise?
I think you hold Mateta because, like we've talked about, that third forward slot, I think you can afford to hold him, unless you've got the budget for him to be Watkins, and then I would be very tempted to make that swap. But I think with Eze and Elise, it's hard to hold them because those five midfielder slots could be filled twice over. So I would sell those guys reluctantly because they were really good across the double game week, but I would sell them, but I would hold Mateta.
Anthony Gordon. I sold him knowing I was wildcarding. He was one of the first names on my wildcard. Jules, would you buy him? Would you sell him or would you hold him?
Yeah, I would buy him. I would hold if I have him already. I do have him. Don't sell now. There's got double game week coming. They've got a good fixture this week coming as well. And yet, what happened at Palace was not good from a Newcastle point of view. The whole team, even if Gordon, to be fair, had a really good chance at the end and Henderson made a really good save. So just that was a blip. I think they will come back very strong this week and then they will have the double. So I would keep Gordon or buy him.
Yeah, Sheffield United at home. His home form has been brilliant, Sam, hasn't it?
Yeah, the home away form is really different. So if you look at Gordon at home this season, 9 goals, 11 assists, 121 FPL points in 16 starts. Away from home, 1 goal, 2 assists and 38 points in 13 starts. So it's massively different. I think the positive thing here is that if you're creating a wildcard team, you will likely have a massively good front eight and it's going to be hard to bench somebody every week. So what you can do with Gordon is just bench him when he's away from home because the away form isn't as good. Now, of the five games that they have remaining, only two of them are at home. So obviously the Sheffield United game, which is up next, you absolutely play him in that one. And then one of the double game week fixtures is at home as well. So obviously you're going to play him in that one. But I think you could afford to bench Anthony Gordon in 36 and in 38. So he kind of feels like the perfect fifth midfielder option right now.
Mm, yeah, I agree. And Mbeumo, Jules, you were was it you that picked him the other week in the end?
Yeah. Him and Wissa combine really well. Ivan Toney, who's a bit injured maybe, or maybe not so much, but on the bench. So Mbeumo and Wissa, I think, will be starting for Brentford probably until the end of the season, and rightly so, I think. I just think there are better options than he's one of my boys, but yeah, there's better options.
Yeah, they've got such nice fixtures. Everton away, Fulham at home, Bournemouth away, and Newcastle at home. It's just really hard to fit him in at 6.8 million, Sam, isn't it? And with these slots.
Yeah, he'll be the one that gets away, I think. We've been saying that for a couple of weeks. Mm. I think he'll be the one that we can't afford to have because we can't afford the space in our team for him. But every week we'll sit here and go, there he goes again. There's another goal. Like, I mean, at the minute he's averaging 5.2 points per match. So he's doing incredibly well. But yeah, we won't buy him because we're going to prioritise those that have double game weeks.
Yeah, talking of double game weeks, we're running out of time, but let's quickly touch upon Chelsea and Spurs ahead of their double this week. For Chelsea, it's Villa away, Spurs at home. For Spurs, it's Arsenal at home and Chelsea away. We've already mentioned them at length. So Sam, which are the players from these teams that you're going to be going in with?
I've got three Chelsea players. Ooh, for my sins.
No,
I've
thanks.
Got three. I know. Tell me about it, Jules. I've got Petrovic in goal. I've got Gusto if fit. I mean, we yet to see how serious that is. Then I've got Cole Palmer. So I'm obviously happy to have him. And then from Spurs, I've only got Son at the moment and probably am rolling just with Son. I can't see me investing in another Spurs player. I don't want a Spurs defender, because we don't ever keep a clean sheet. And I don't think I want another Spurs attacker. I think having one is enough. I think that would be my Spurs bias if I went for two Spurs attacking options. I feel like I'm way too heavily invested in Chelsea. I think you could actually just have Palmer from Chelsea. I think that would be, like, if you go into this game with just Palmer and Son, I think that is fine.
Yeah. Jules, what about you? Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree completely.
I can tell you're a big Chelsea fan from the early stages of this podcast.
Yeah, of course. Although I thought their first half against Arsenal was actually not too bad with the ball. Me and producer Jesse were watching it. After that, it's catastrophic. It's just shambolic. But Palmer, you must have, of course. Gusto, if you have him already, because he was so cheap from the beginning, keep him. But don't invest in any more Chelsea assets for sure. And for Spurs, we've said it. I agree with Sam. I think if you just have Son, that's enough. If you don't, just go for another attacker like Maddison, like Brennan Johnson. But again, I would not double up on Spurs either.
Okay, so that was going to be a quick chat. It was a differential of the week. And what a week it was in game week 34 for differentials. Jules went for Eze, who got 14 points against West Ham and Newcastle. But Sam won this. Now, can we give you a bonus point for this? I don't know, because you went for Mateta, who got 29 points. That's over double what Jules' differential got.
I thought that was on my list as well. I just let Sam have it.
Yeah, well, you said the wrong one, didn't you? Sam, you can go first.
Oh, I can go first again.
Go on.
Okay. So having just said that we only need one Spurs player for the double game week, it's got to be Son. I do think if you want a differential this week, then you could take a different Spurs asset. So I've got Timo Werner as my differential of the week for this week. It's going to cost you 6.3 million. He's owned by 1% of the game. He's got returns in two of his last three Premier League matches. And since game week 27, he has four attacking returns. Only Son and Johnson have got more than that at Spurs. Currently averaging 4.8 points per match. 17 attempts on goal in that same period of time. Only Son has more than he does. And six big chances. Only Johnson has more than that. So I don't think that Timo Werner is a long-term hold. But I do think for a little 1 week fling, you could have Timo Werner. He's top for assists at Spurs in that same period of time. So there we go.
Safe to say that is not the differential that Jules went for. So we don't have to worry about
it. It's not the fling
up.
I want either. Thank you. That's fine.
Jules, who have you gone for then?
I went from Rasmus Højlund and United. We talked about United and Bruno, Garnacho, Onana, Maguire, all of that. He scored against Sheffield United. They've got Burnley coming up. As well, and the double obviously in 37. We know he's a streaky player in the sense that, remember, he didn't score a lot at all from the first 6 months of the season. Then he had this great period where he could not stop scoring. Then he got injured. And now it feels like he's coming back to a really good level. His XG per 90 is 0.32, so that's decent. And he's only owned by 5.2% of the managers. He costs you 7 million, so I understand that's a lot of money when you have other really good options. But I don't know. I think United will want to finish the season on a high before the FA Cup final, right at the end too, against City. So Højlund could be very interesting.
Yeah, he's someone I haven't ruled out as my third forward, but as you can tell, not many people have been ruled out of that discussion at the moment.
You can't have 25 players in your squad. You know that. This is not a real squad.
I'd just like an extra midfielder spot. Is that so much to ask for? I think we all would, to be fair.
We'd all like that.
Yeah, we would. Captaincy then. I'm not going to forget it this week. I'm never going to forget captaincy again. It's like etched on my brain after we forgot it a couple of weeks ago. Do you go with a double game weeker? If Palmer's past fit, he's going to get my armband, Sam.
Yeah. Oh, it's so boring, isn't it? Like,
if we're lured in again.
Yeah, and I don't like, I really don't like that double for them. Aston Villa away, difficult. Palmer at home is different. Obviously, Palmer at home to Spurs and that Spurs defence, I think he could do really well. Son is an option. I'm probably going to be boring and give it to Palmer. Son's an option. I don't love his double either. Arsenal and Chelsea, difficult. There's plenty of single game weekers out there that you could hand the armband to, but I think you probably do target the doubler.
Jules?
Yeah, Panama probably for me as well. It's a bit boring.
So boring. If you weren't going to captain Palmer, who else would you go for, Sam?
Son, probably.
Yeah, probably.
Boring. Yeah. What if Haaland's fit and scores loads against Brighton? Well, I mean, Pep's ruled him out, hasn't he? So that's not going to happen. But if he is declared fit ahead of Forest away, would we be tempted by him? All right, I'm trying. No one's tempted. Let's move on to transfers. I was trying to offer up different options.
Good try.
Yeah, you tried hard.
Okay, transfers. Who are we going for? Mass Liverpool exodus. Jules, you've only got one free transfer, though.
One free transfer, Darwin to Isak. That will happen unless Watkins unless I want to fling with Watkins, like Sam wants with
Werner. You just stopped talking about flings on this podcast.
I know, man. It's her, it's not me. but Darwin to Isak, I think, is the most likely move that I will make. We said Sheffield United at home for Newcastle after the defeat at Palace. They're going to bounce back. And then the big one is the -4 for Salah to Son, potentially.
Ooh, Sam?
I'm also going to take a -4 this week, I think. I am going to do Darwin and Salah to Isak and Foden.
Nice. Okay. It says here Kelly Sahar wildcard draft.
You've done
it. I think I've said it. By the end of this podcast, I don't think I've made any further decisions. I think I'm set on my midfield. I've maybe changed my goalkeeper by what Sam says. I'm not having a Spurs defender. I got lured in by the double.
At the moment.
Yeah, I'm going to find money to have Edison. I'm not going to have Porro. It's just that third forward that I've got to decide on, really. That's my biggest dilemma, I think, now.
You wait for the WhatsApp chat on Saturday morning when Kelly's trying to decide just before the deadline. It's going to be mad.
Big time.
I'm trying to think, what will I be doing on... It's almost worse now I'm not working on Saturdays at the moment. I have too much time because I sit and watch every bit of content. And probably listen back to this podcast again and think, what was I rambling on about? In fact, on that note, we will leave it here. It's going to be a long few days for me. A reminder, deadline for game week 35 is 11 a.m. That's 90 minutes ahead of the lunchtime kickoff between West Ham and Liverpool. The Fantasy Show will be back on Friday. Sam will be joining me in the studio. Then on Monday, off the bench will return Gianni and Andy will be talking us through the opening 10 fixtures. Then we'll be back to round off the game week and look ahead to game week 36 on Thursday. As always, the code for the FPL pod mini league is IB3WLK. Thanks for listening, guys. Best of luck, and we'll see you next week. Bye bye.